Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean right here on Bulldog Live. We'll talk about one of the places that you can carry a firearm, or maybe not. Can you? Well, we'll see.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean. That's the intro from Steve Voss with Come and Take It, stevevoss.com, V-A-U-S. Hi, Penny.
Hey, how are you?
Ooh, boy, busy, busy, busy as always.
Oh, man, there's no reps for the wicked.
Ain't I wicked, too.
And the righteous don't need none.
Aha. And you're in good company, so there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Goodness, you know, where can we carry firearms? We talk about where you can take them to for the most part, and that is traveling across the country and the like. But now we got to focus right back at home in New Hampshire, where you can pretty much carry in most places, even the legislature. But we know it's commonly believed you can't carry in the schools, the post offices, or the courthouses. Or can you?
Well, we're going to take them one at a time because I think each, if you will, area deserves its entire show, or even more than one show, you know, to talk about it fully and completely. And I want to focus today on what I call, you know, the famous Paul Harvey?
Yes.
I'm going to be Penny Harvey today with the rest of the story.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, people talk about courthouses, and I can tell you there was what we called heck, I think it was Thursday, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago. My sense of time gets away from me. And we had several bills, firearm-related bills, being heard before criminal justice and public safety.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard Zippel, who is general counsel to the New Hampshire Supreme Court, was there testifying. And here's what he told us, and I'm going to paraphrase his words. He said there's lock boxes and everything set up in all the courts in all the states, and you can secure your firearms there just like you're supposed to. And I'm hearing him testify, and I'm thinking, gee, that's funny. That's not how I recall it at all. Oh, absolutely. So I'm like, okay, Representative Welch. Oh, yeah, I've checked with Howard Zippel. Everything's in place. Don't worry. You can secure your firearms and get them when you go, no problem. And I've invited every listener I can over time to try that themselves if they're brave. Because, of course, you always risk getting arrested, because I've had some district court bailiffs tell me personally, you hit that door and you declare to us you have a firearm you want to secure. If we're in a good mood, we're going to tell you to go back out and put it in the car. And if we're in a bad mood, we're going to put those civil bracelets on, the one I've never worn before.
Oh, how nice.
Matching sets, you know.
Hmm.
And so I say, but wait a minute, there's an RSA on point that says I can secure them at the courthouse. And they're like, we ain't read no RSA. So I say,
yeah,
okay.
Lovely.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. So I want to educate everyone, and we want to talk first about the RSA. And the RSA in question is RSA 159-19, entitled Courthouse Security. And what's interesting about this is the majority, not all, but the majority of the firearm-related laws are in RSA 159. And so RSA 159-19, Courthouse Security, says, no person shall knowingly carry a loaded or unloaded pistol, revolver, or firearm, or any other deadly weapon, as defined in RSA 625-11, Roman numeral 5, whether open or concealed, or whether licensed or unlicensed, upon the person or within any of the person's possessions, owned, or within the person's control, in a courtroom or area used by a court. Whoever violates the provision of this paragraph shall be guilty of a Class B felony. Now, Roman numeral 2 of RSA 159-19 says, firearms may be secured at the entrance to a courthouse by courthouse security personnel. So, and it says, that essentially all you have to do is when you get to the first, you know, the metal detector, you say to the courthouse personnel, hey, Joe, I have a firearm and I want to secure it. I'm not trying to break the law. I'm not trying to carry it in. I would like to declare it to you, and I would like to secure it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds really simple, and I had one state representative, actually the chair of the Criminal Justice Committee, say, oh, in my county, I've secured my firearm at the gates. And we're all like, oh, really? I haven't seemed to have that luck. And so I had an individual, more than one individual, say to me, that's not how it works in the real world. And so I have an email, and I've not been able to speak to this person, although I certainly have left messages for him to call me. And he is, his name is Jason R. Jordan Hazy. And if I'm mispronouncing his last name, I apologize, but his assistant told me that's how it's pronounced, Jason R. Jordan Hazy, with Jordan Hazy being one word.
Mm-hmm.
And he supposedly, or upon information and belief, is the manager of security for the administrative office of the courts for the state of New Hampshire. And again, I've called him, and I have this email that is purportedly signed and put out by him that I have every reason to believe is from him. And here's what it says. The general procedure for accomplishing this is as follows. It is the responsibility of the owner to ensure that the firearm is cleared of all ammunition prior to bringing it into the courthouse. So right off the bat,
so you got to do it out in the middle of the street?
Yeah. So do you carry an unloaded firearm with you?
No.
Yeah. And so if you have to, does that mean if you carry, like I carry a semi-auto primarily, does that mean I have to drop the mag, clear the chamber, and empty all the ammo from my magazine?
See, that's a question that always comes to my mind.
Okay. And if I do, do I have to bring a darn mag loader with me? Because, like, some of the last rounds and some mags, if they get a tight spring, I need a mag loader.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah.
You know, that last one, for me, putting that last one in, it's like,
So the question
try doing
is,
it in a hurry, too.
Bingo. Okay, so when is the most dangerous time for accidental discharges and other problems? Loading and unloading a firearm. Why wouldn't you just take the firearm, keeping the muzzle pointed in a safe direction, give it to the security officer, and have him lock it up?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that right off the bat just sounds like a silly to me. Now, to continue with the security officer's email, the court security officer will check to see that the firearm is in a safe condition by verifying the firearm is not loaded, place the firearm in a lockbox for safekeeping. A lockbox is available at every courthouse. Now, listen to his language, because words mean something.
Okay.
Obtain a valid permit to carry a concealed firearm, photo identification from the individual, and obtain the full name and date of birth of the individual. I don't know about you, but I don't have a permit in New Hampshire.
Nope. I don't think New Hampshire issues permits.
They issue licenses.
Yes.
Now, even more important, why does he need my date of birth?
Well, let me stop you right there on that issue of the licenses, or as he puts it, permits. What you don't need a license to openly carry. So
bingo.
Let's say you're openly carrying across the street. What do they need the license for? It doesn't apply.
Bingo.
Okay.
That's exactly right. What if I walk to the courthouse and I want to go and watch something, as I have a right to do in a public hearing?
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't have, then, here's the problem. Why does he need my full name and date of birth? Okay, now, number four is good. It says complete and issue a receipt for the firearm to the individual.
Very good. So you have a way to track it.
Right. And I want to know that I'm getting my firearm back, not your firearm back.
Yeah.
Now, here's where all the
maybe you want mine. I don't know.
That's right. Depends on what you have.
Yeah, right.
If you got one of those fancy, tansy ones, I'll take that one. Now.
Hey, that's nice looking Beretta over there. I think I'll take that one. You can keep my Kel-Tec, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly. You've got, oh, my God, a nice Kimber, one of the Ultra CDPs. That's mine. That's mine. Now, during the time that the individual with a firearm is in the courthouse, this is the really scary part that I don't think people knew of. I didn't know this. The court security officer will determine whether or not there is anything, in parens, domestic violence orders, or person being a convicted felon, that would prevent the individual from possessing a firearm. If it is found that the person is disqualified from carrying the firearm, then local law enforcement is notified and they determine what further steps to take. Now, did you ever hear any part in the law about them checking that out?
Never.
But here's the other thing. How often has law enforcement and records been wrong?
Oh, yeah. You can answer that one better than I could.
Yeah. Okay, so now additionally, this is the really scary part, okay? Additionally, court security officers are to be alert to the possibility of the individual becoming disruptive or agitated while conducting business with the court. If in the judgment of the court security officer, the return of the firearm would create a risk to public safety, the firearm will be retained and turned over to local law enforcement, and they determine what further steps to take.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so you take me. I'm a person who goes into court, and do I raise my voice? You bet I do. Do I be very direct with the courts about what's wrong? Of course I am. So I'm considered because no one goes to court because they're happy and having a good day, right?
Right.
You don't sue your neighbor because you love him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you go to court, and if you're not toeing the line according to whomever, okay, they think now we're basically being targeted, that we're considered, are we now going to be sought out and extra scrutiny? Because after all, we're firearm owners, so we could be dangerous and violent and disruptive, right? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I don't get it. But, you know, I'd like to know what provisions in the law would permit them to do that to begin with, to turn it over to a police officer to determine on their very own what they're going to do with you and that firearm. I mean, what? Where do they come up with that? Shouldn't there be some kind of a lawful basis for them to come up with that policy?
That's what one would think, because essentially the other thing is...
Me not being the lawyer, but, you know, I just thought I'd ask.
If they're doing that, what happens to those receipts with my serial number and make and model of my firearm on?
Are they taking your serial number, too, on those receipts?
Well, it doesn't say that specifically. I've never got one, so I'd like to take a firearm that I don't care much about and go to two or three of the courts and we'll see. Because let me tell you something. I think
what uses will be made of that information? That should be covered by some sort of a privacy law. You know, kind of like what the federal government has about social security numbers. Okay, do you have to give this? Is it mandatory? Is it voluntary? What happens if you don't? And what uses will be made of that information once they have it?
Yeah, we
should have. Hello, legislators. Something else for you to work on next year.
You know what? That's exactly right. I think the bottom line is, I don't think that the general court ever thought for even a minute, okay, that things like this would happen. I just don't believe they did.
Well, this is why they need to now all of a sudden become a little more concerned to see if this was ever an intention or again, what would be the lawful basis for it if there is any.
Right, and I think our firearm owners now being targeted with the mark of Cain, because why, after all, why are you carrying your firearm to court?
Well, I can tell you from a friend of mine, and I'm not going to name the town or the court, but he had to go into a building to a county office that had nothing to do with the court, but it was in a courthouse, and he always carries, and he went into the security checkpoint, and he told them that he had a firearm, and they had him hand it over. They asked if he had a license. Well, he was carrying concealed, so they asked if he had a license for it, and they held it until he walked back out and gave it back to him. I don't think they ever even issued him a receipt for that, and I have no idea what he says. They put it in like one of those manila envelopes, so I don't know what happened if they unloaded it or he unloaded it or what have you. So It sounded like a loosey-goosey system to me. But so this is an interesting conversation here. So, well, with that, I got to take a time out here, Penny. We are going to continue here, Second Amendment Tuesdays, with Attorney Penny Dean. I am your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton, on The Pulse.